You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Rays reporter Bill Chastain. And Bill, the Rays have been playing well as of late. They did run into King Felix on Monday night, and he was pretty good. They hit a couple of homers off him, but overall they couldn't break through for much more than that. Logan Forsythe also injured during the game, hit by a pitch, but the x-rays are negative. Forsythe has really been maybe the Rays' best player early in the season. Do you expect him to be ready to go on Tuesday? I know he said after the game, I think he was day-to-day.
I'm guessing based on him coming out, and you know he's one of these tough guys, but for him to come out, it had to really kind of sting him. I'm guessing that he'll probably be out the next 2 days, and then he'll have the off day on Thursday and probably be back by Friday.
So give him a little bit of a break. The home runs are interesting, Bill, because the Rays have been hitting a lot of them, 23 homers over the last 13 games. But it's almost been a case of that's the only way they've been able to score. I mean, you're not going to say, hey, we need to hit less homers. Home runs are great. But what needs to happen for this team to be able to score in different ways?
Well, you know, and I had this discussion with them last night, you know, because it's kind of odd. You sit there and, you know, you're getting picky about how you're scoring your runs. But it is an oddity. And home runs for the Rays, a team that traditionally has not hit home runs, is you know, the biggest oddity. But talking to hitting coach Derek Shelton, you know, he says it's just a matter of they need to hit better with runners in scoring position. And they just have not done that. Now, talking to them, as far as last night, they had a pretty good excuse. They said that, you know, the Kings pretty good about breaking up rhythms in lineups and not letting you string together those hits you need to score runs, other than giving up the two solo home runs. So it just comes down to better, you know, approaches with runners in scoring position and coming through in those situations.
Now, Tuesday night, Drew Smyly will be back on the mound, and he's been real good. And you know, we talked in spring training and leading up to the year, and you kind of anticipated that he would be a real good pitcher in this rotation and a real big addition after battling the injuries, and he hasn't disappointed at all.
No, and I think he's fascinating to watch because, you know, you'll see a pitch come in, he'll throw a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, and you'll see a hitter swing at it and look like he just swung and missed at something 96 or 97. Somehow he's very deceptive in his delivery, and it's particularly hard for hitters to pick up who haven't faced him before. I know going against the Dodgers in his last start, I was not surprised at all that he did well out of the gate because most of those guys had not seen him. And, you know, that just adds to the equation of, you know, of how hard it is to pick it up when he's done that. But, you know, in addition to that, he's done a really good job as far as getting ahead in the count. You sit there and you watch him and you look up at the scoreboard, it's always 0-2, 1-2. And, you know, when you're pitching in those kind of counts, typically you're going to have success.
He's been very good, and it seems like Chris Archer is back to being Chris Archer over his last three starts. The team is 3-0. He's 2-0. The ERA is under 1. He's had the strikeouts over 1 per inning. What's been the difference as of late with Archer as opposed to his first few starts of the season where it seemed like he was still trying to figure things out?
Well, according to him, his stuff has been the same. It's just been a matter of having a lapse here or there, or the opposing team taking advantage of when, and the opposing team taking advantage of when he did have a, you know, a lapse on a pitch, a location. And in contrast to Smyly, he was falling behind in counts, and that's never a situation a pitcher wants to get into. But he's been a lot better lately, and you know, does look more like the Archer of the first half last year.
It really seems like overall the pitching is kind of coming together with the rotation. And then also, I mean, the bullpen, when you look at the back end and what Colomé's done, he's been tremendous, stepping in, obviously, after Boxberger getting injured. Colomé with the 9 saves, the great ERA. As good as he's been, is this team going to have a decision to make when Brad Boxberger is healthy as to where those roles go?
I don't think you're going to get him to say anything, but I think pretty much Boxberger's going to step back in there, and they're just going to, you know, you might see Colomé close on a night when Boxberger's not available. But, you know, what this does is it just strengthens the back end of the bullpen even more. Although it will be interesting to see how Colin may react to that because he told us yesterday how much he enjoys pitching in the ninth and how the, you know, the adrenaline gets going in the last inning, and which, you know, is not unusual, but, you know, he's reacted very well to that.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things where some guys who are great relievers go to pitch that ninth inning and maybe aren't as good, and then other guys seem to be able to raise their game in some way because of that adrenaline, the way it affects him. He certainly has been very good. As for Boxberger, I know he's slowly getting back. What is the timetable as of right now? When do they expect him to be back with the big league club?
Well, he threw a batting practice in Charlotte yesterday to the Class A, some of the hitters there. Everything went well. They were waiting, you know, before they said their next step with him to see how he felt afterwards. He hasn't had any setbacks, so I would expect him to be back at some point between middle of May, 1st of June, that type of thing. In fact, you know, we've been reporting that he said, you know, that he would be back middle of May, and I think that's been more on what Boxberger was telling us and not what the Rays were telling us, who are extremely conservative in those situations. So probably somewhere between the middle of May and the 1st of June.
Bill, before the loss on Monday night, the Rays had won four straight. They had the big sweep over the weekend, and the exclamation point on that sweep was a victory on Sunday in which Matt Andrews came across the country, really, to toss 7 one-run innings, making his first start of the year at the big league level. And I guess pitching in front of his mom in the majors for the first time because he's from the California area, that is one of those things that just kind of writes itself, right? It's Mother's Day. The guy gets called up, travels across the country to where he grew up, basically, and gets to pitch in front of mom.
And, of course, this is the park where he and his family used to always go watch games. You know, he said they would go to about 10 games a year at least. And I think he said the last time he had been to a game with his mother there, it was actually on Mother's Day. But I think the big thing from you take away from that on Sunday is just how much depth the Rays have at the starting position pitching area, and you know, which is a really, really good position to be in, particularly when you look at what was going on with the team they beat over the weekend, the Angels, who, you know, just everything has fallen apart. So you see how bad it can be when you don't have it, and what a luxury it is when you do.
Yeah, it makes you realize how valuable all those different arms are. And as far as Andrews goes, he pitched well enough, I guess, for an extended stay, right? He made the trip up to Seattle. Is any idea when he may start again?
They haven't announced anything, but I'm thinking right now they're going to fall into place and have him be the number five for a little while. They do like having Erasmo Ramirez, you know, coming out of the bullpen, where he seemingly comes in and always, you know, if the team's behind or tied, you know, they rally and get a run, so he picks up the win. So it's a good situation right now, but I would be very surprised if Andrees doesn't make a couple more starts going forward.
Yeah, Ramirez among the league leaders in wins despite pitching out of the bullpen. It's really been impressive. I wanted to talk to you about the first base situation, the platoon, because what we've seen, Steve Pierce hitting pretty well and Logan Morrison continuing to struggle. Could there be a point where Pierce starts to face right-handers as well a little bit? Or are they set on sticking with this and the confidence that at some point Logan Morrison is going to kind of break out and start to swing the bat better?
Well, Pierce has started against some right-handers. They have done that. Yeah. I'm more in the camp of, you know, if you got a guy who's reasonably hot and another guy is really not doing anything, you know, I would ride that streak with the guy who's hot. But, you know, they seem to be setting their ways on this thing. And, you know, I'm sure Morrison appreciates it. I'm sure he's been around long enough, too, to where he would understand if he was sat down that, you know, he hadn't been producing. And, you know, his day might come, you know, after several games or whatnot. But they do seem to be sticking with their plan that they went into the season with, which was to have, you know, a righty-lefty combo at first. And, you know, I think a lot of people have been disappointed that they got rid of James Loney. I think they made their commitment before the season started to having the potential of having more pop at the first base position, you know, as far as home runs go. So, you know, we'll see. I don't think if he continues to struggle too much longer, I think they will have to do something, though.
Some managers, when you look around baseball, seem to have a little more loyalty, I guess is the word, to stick with guys, especially early in the season, than other managers. Has Kevin Cash, in his year plus with the Rays, seemed to be that kind of guy that sticks with his guys and has shows that patience and that confidence that they'll come around?
Well, to me, it looks like they went into the season with a plan. They're trying to stick to the numbers from that plan. You know, obviously, every hitter goes through highs and lows, and you know, maybe they're of the opinion that, you know, if you keep running them out there, it's going to eventually get to where it goes. So, you know, you can call that loyalty, or you can call it a plan. Either way, it seems to be what they're going to stick to doing.
This has been MLB.com Extras Rays Edition, along with Bill Chastain. I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.